Mr. Lister, Reel 14. We're talking about the time in Greece. What do you remember of how you lived then? What was it like during that period? Did you feel you were under siege?
Well, not under siege, but you had to be very. We'd already, I think most of us already decided. I said, I'm sure the higher command had decided that we had to keep ELAS under control, if not quell them completely. There were deposing factions, the royalists and ELAS, and I've forgotten the letters, the other one, I think it's KP, I'm not quite sure. We're fighting each other, but we didn't have any other tool with us, it was ELAS that were opposed to us. I mean, we used to write slogans against Churchill, slogans against America, you know, they were. They wanted to run Greece, that was it. That was General Greenbass.
Did you have any sympathy for them at all?
No, because they were even though they were struggling to establish themselves, they were the most oppressive regime, or they would have been, against their own people. They had no regard for women and children. If women and children were in the way, they died just the same as they were fighting an enemy. They were very
So what's the next thing you remember of that period?
Once the situation in the centre of Athens had been reasonably resolved, things began to get a bit quieter. And you were able to live a reasonable sort of existence.
Did the Greeks get any more friendly?
Well, yes, they did. Once the ELAS had been shifted out of the respective areas, some of them were positively blooming with the friendship. These people had to be fed, and at that time spent a lot of time our own quartermaster, but I suppose that everybody else did. We're responsible for trying to feed these women and children in particular, and try and ease the situation, because I had nothing at all, really. Had no source of income, had no means of supply, and so it fell upon the army to distribute whatever food was available to them, you know, and they were very, very grateful.
Would you help with that distribution?
Yeah. Used to go on door as you had to go. You never went out in the vehicle alone, you know, that was six or eight. And I occasionally drove a lorry. On other occasions, I went as a second driver armed to the service corps base and drew rations to be distributed to wherever was always done under the supervision of the old quartermaster, that was Captain Newman.
Did you have any other duties?
Guard duties, plenty of guard duties. You seem to do quite a lot of guard duties, which was reasonable, I suppose, in those circumstances. But you got a fair bit of free time as well.
What would you do in your free time?
Well, eventually we were allowed to go down into Athens proper, and we used to go to the so-called nightclubs. There was one or two cinemas still in the door. Yeah, it was more or less, you always felt a bit apprehensive in case some of these people jumped on you.
Do you remember Churchill?
Yes.
Visiting, and Alexander, Eden. What?
Well, I don't know, I can't remember what he had to say, but it was very brief, but he was full of praise for the way that the British ships had conducted themselves up to that time, and what a difficult situation he realised it was. Well, it was, you see, some of these people wore uniforms and some didn't, some were civvies and we didn't know them. They didn't even know themselves which side that Tom, Dick or Harry were on. They could have been on anybody's side. That was the thing about it. Something like Palestine or even present day in Ireland, it's the same thing. You don't know who's who.
Did Churchill speak to you?
I can't remember him addressing me. Eden did, but I can't remember the question.
So as the situation resolved itself, and Athens and Piraeus were cleared of the Elas.
It became quite pleasant. You felt more relaxed, although you could never totally relaxed. It occasionally, even when you began to feel a bit confident, I can remember the uses, mine roads and things like that, when you least expected it, you know, when everything was jeeps, trucks and whatever were all sandbagged on the floors just in case you did drive over the mine to try and take some of the blast.
But that never happened to you?
Not to me personally, but some of my friends were involved. And there was quite a few casualties long after things had settled down.
Now, after Athens was cleared, you were sent to Patras, weren't you?
Yes, that's right.
What do you recall of that?
Well, again, we got the worst of weather, and arrived in darkness, and the sea was pitching all over the place. And as far as I know, I may be wrong, we landed in a part that was a destroyer base, directly in the dark, blinding rain, directly under the quayside. And I was a long row of interspersed with shops and all the fun. Even then, so-called clubs and things like that. Because it was very dark and very wet, and everybody was instructed to dive in there. Those that weren't a lot of any particular place, and we weren't, to dive into cover and anywhere we could go. And the following morning, everything was sorted out, but
Elas didn't oppose the landing, or they'd been quite expecting quite a lot of trouble, but there wasn't any, was there?
There wasn't any, no. But we went into the flour mill. I remember these great big bins, massive bins, you know, not little things, massive bins with unground wheat or corn or whatever it was. And there was a big boiler house with some vertical boilers that were they were made by a Scottish firm. I can't remember exactly what it was. And somebody decided that it would be a good idea to put some heat in the situation and light the boilers up. And nobody in our lot who were there at the time knew anything about it. And they started to clean the fireboxes out, start the fire, and it occurred to me that that wasn't a very good idea, because my limited knowledge was, well, if there was enough water in them, and furthermore, and the being booby traps, which is a possibility, and the officer, I don't know, the officer suddenly dawned on him and he turned quite pale and decided it wasn't such a good idea at all, and stopped this thing. And one of the boilers actually had some sticks of dynamite taped together, fastened to the dome of the firebox, so it's just as well it didn't light up.
In other words, it had been booby-trapped.
Mm.
Were booby-traps common, a common danger?
Yes, they were, yes.
What sort of, I mean, that's one of them. What other sorts were you aware of that you had to watch out for?
Well, they were often covered up with grenades amongst piles of fruit and things like that, but, you know. A lot of these devices that they were working on had obviously picked up from the Germans, because the Germans were masters of even fountain pens. Binoculars and things like that, they used to pick them up and you got your hand blown off or something like that.
And you were aware of these risks?
We were, yes, but on that particular occasion just be happening in one of those times that nobody thought about it till I did, I think.
Now, what were you doing while you were at Patras?
Oh, was it the Patras railway goods station? There was a British building in the station, and largely maintaining vehicles, mostly jeeps and motorbikes. In the station yard area, and again doing the odd guard, and the companies were scattered it far and wide. We did eventually get a fair amount of relaxation when again the situation was properly worked out, and it wasn't a bad time really.
Because the truce was on the 14th of January with Elas.
Yeah.
And there shouldn't have been much trouble after that.
No.
So how did you spend the time after that?
Well, there were a lot of support in I didn't personally, but the battalion did a lot of marching and training. We did have a fair few sporting events and things like that.
How about relationships with the Greeks?
They were good affair, very good, yes. Although I was never involved in any sort of action, because we visited some of these villages that the companies were in for one reason or another. But the people were extremely friendly.
Any incidents you remember from your time at Patras before you went back to Athens?
Yeah, the we were billeted upstairs in part of the station buildings, and it had bales of jute, I think they were. Stuff like that of some description. They have great big beds, and we had it all worked out, nice spaces, and you get the head up. There's a lot of local children, mostly little nippers, like from 3 or 4 years old, little girls and whatnot, always asking me for chocolate and this sort of thing. And some of them actually lived there, you know, civilians attached to the place, and we used to play cards and whatnot in our own area, and one afternoon we were messing about upstairs where we were, and they never bothered, never tried to steal anything. And how it happened, I don't know, but some of these girls' hairs burst into flames. And somebody saw the smoke pouring out, and the kids were shouting and screaming. And three of us just took the stairs and the wooden staircase, I remember that, and grabbed them and got them out, and then they had bucket chains to put the fire out, and thought nothing about it. And a few weeks later, Brigadier Block came to inspect the area and inspect the transport and motorbike sections. He gave two of his letter of recommendation, but I never got it. So I don't know what happened there.
So what about, you went back into Athens to meet the 46th, the rest of the division, didn't you?
Yes, that's right. I went back by road. We had to go by sea because the bridge of Corinth had been blown. It was repaired and we went back by road. And I was at the tail end of the convoy. And the roads were atrocious in parts. I mean, it was a white chalk dust. And of course, if you were further behind you were, the worst was it. You could hardly see out the windscreen. You had to keep stopping and wiping this dumb stuff off. And it got in you. It affected your breathing and whatnot. And the MTO was conducting the convoy and riding a motorbike going to the head of the column and coming back the rear of the column and this, that and the other, and we got about 4/5 of the way, I think, roughly in my estimation. And he decided to call it a day, so he took my place in the truck and hugged me the motorbike. But unthinking, I'm sure he didn't know on purpose, he didn't give me his colours, and I never thought about it. I'm riding this bike, and within a couple of kilometres, I was virtually blind. And what about what I did, and if you looked at it, made it worse. And I just couldn't go any further, I couldn't see. And I stopped. I can remember a railway signal box, a sort of a junction, a railway signal box on my left, and a sort of a farm entrance. There was a house that looked like a farm on my right. So I thought, well, I'll go in there and see if I can get some water and wash my eyes out. And I rode the bike into this entrance place and into a yard. And I was surrounded by armed Greeks. And they made me get off the bike. Rather roughly pushed me into the house, and started asking me a load of questions which I couldn't understand most of them, whatnot. And then somebody who spoke English said what was going on, and so I couldn't say very well, as I said. And I asked for some water for this guy. He told him to give me it, and he gave me the water, and I switched my eyes out, and they were very, very soft. And I'd never met the man, but I got the immediate impression that he was General Grievous. Sort of an idea of his size and shape and whatnot. And he was dressed like that. So he said, I'm afraid. He said, you'll have to be kept here. We're going away. He says, you'll have to be kept here. We've gone. We'll leave your bike. He stayed in his room and it'll be under guard and give us your word it won't try and escape. And we'll let you off in about an hour or so, which is it. And of course, by then the battalion is long settled back in Faro. And when I arrived, I was hearing cry, where they've been, what have they been doing, and all sorts of things. My eyes were still could barely see properly, and it was dark when I got there. And I went to the medical aid person, washed my eyes out, swinged about, and put some drops in. And it suddenly occurred to me that I had to report this stuff. I asked by the intelligence officer what I went to report to this, and I got another rousing because I hadn't reported it immediately. My suspicions that this man was there. Quite subsequently, it turned out that it was him, and he had been there. And of course, the contention was that if I'd reported it straight away, they might have been able to do something about it. But I never agreed with that because I didn't know I was the one, and I'm sure they didn't, and it could have been anywhere. But still, it was just a one-off to strength after that, was it?
But they treated you reasonably well, then?
They did. If they hadn't intervened, I'm sure they wouldn't have done, but obviously he was a man of some influence, and so, well, it was.
Now, whereabouts were you in Athens? You were back in Phaleron, weren't you?
Yes.
And this was just, you were there, during the period you were there, you weren't doing anything in particular at all for work.
It was very, was company exercises and things like that along various parts of the course. And we were just largely concerned with maintenance
and sport.
And sport. I remember taking part in a, I was a good runner in a cross country run organised by the battalion. And I was doing extremely well. Terrible. Flimsolls, terrible ground downhill towards the finish. And I was in a reasonably good position, certainly shouldn't be in the first 20. And I kicked a hard rock and fell over and jumped up immediately to run on and I'd torn a big toenail off my left foot completely and it was hanging off and I was in that and I took my shoe off and my sock off and there it was. So I thought, well, and everybody's shouting what they're already doing in those positions. So I didn't put my sock on, I stood in my foot and I think the toenail was with it in there. Should be short again and limp back, but I dropped out the first 20 to about 60. Wasn't very satisfactory thing.
What about? I mean, it mentions that you'd get the opportunity to drink the local drinks, Ouzo, Retsina. What did you think of them?
Well, at first I didn't like that scene, but there was a little place where we paused. I can't remember for the life of me how Oh, it was a class. We were on guard duty, and somebody was seeing a light somewhere, and we went to investigate it, and it was a wooden hook made of railway sleepers, and a door, nobody there, and tried to open the door, and it was fastened, and kicked the door, and went in, and they opened the door, we went in,